Please turn with me this evening to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." I want to think this evening just about these five words: "He will dwell with them." And this is not to dwell upon things too much, in a sense, but it's pointless to deny occasions. This is the final Lord's table that we have together. And I've often urged you, whether that's from the pulpit or with a little helpful insert that you may have had for your Bible or you may have seen in the Messenger, and I took this from other sources, of course, but there are five directions that we can look at the Lord's table. If you remember, we look back to Calvary, we look up, remembering that he is in heaven, he is the Lord. We look forward till he comes. We look within, that is, we examine our hearts and repent of our sin. And we also look around at our family in Christ. All these five directions we are to look at the Lord's table. And tonight, I want to focus on one of these. That is, that at the table, we look forward. We look forward. It's especially relevant, I suppose, in what are relatively difficult times, and at Christmas time, to look forward to the fact that he is coming again. He has come and he is coming again. Now, Revelation 21 is the great vision of things to come. Matthew Henry says that in this chapter, a new world or universe opens to our view. And so it does. It is a stunning chapter of God's word. It finds few equals, I think. It is simply stunning. We see the old passing away, the new coming. We saw recently together, of course, the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And we saw how Revelation 19 speaks about the marriage supper of the Lamb, those who are called to it. Much is said in those chapters about judgment. Not so much is said about judgment here in chapter 21. It is more to do with the new scene. The scene has shifted. Everything has changed. The new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven from God. And things are different. Surely to every Christian, this chapter, this vision of what is to come, of all the glory, must be to us the greatest joy, the very greatest joy. I tell you that for me, for all that there is in this chapter, there is nothing quite so takes my breath away as the end of verse 21, which simply reads, "And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass." Why that? Why not the Lamb and no temple and no night and all of that? I Just think about what it must be to see gold so pure, so brilliant, that it shines like transparent glass. And then I think, and this is the street. This is the street. This isn't the walls or the buildings or a monument. This is what the people in the city are walking on. This is the full intent of God to give to us just a glimpse of the glory, just a glimpse of the beauty, just a glimpse of the majesty. That's just my favourite bit. And it's here in 21, Revelation 21, really. After all things, all tribulation is over, sin is conquered, death is vanquished, eternal life is inherited by all who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's clearly fenced, you know, no sin is entering here. This is God's place for God's people, Jews and Gentiles alike. You've got the gates representing the tribes. You've got the foundations representing the apostles. You can see the imagery that God so clearly intends for us all to grasp, that his people in the age to come are one and shall be forever. He saves his people from their sins. Here, after all things are over, is the city illuminated by nothing but the glory of God. No night. There'll be no night. There's no need for a sun or a moon. The Lamb is the glory. God is the light of it. It is an amazing picture. There's no temple. The Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. No sun nor moon. The glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Quite extraordinary things to ponder. Here is a city free from all sorrow. And we see that as verse 3 continues into verse 4. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. They're gone. They're done. They're never to be thought of again. They're not to be remembered again. They'll certainly never be experienced again. Do you think about these things? We must think about these things. These things are here for us to think about. They're here to encourage us. Because life is a veil of tears. Life has its joys and its pleasures, and we bless the Lord for them. But there are disappointments. People let us down. People do more than let us down. So often. And we have accidents and we hurt ourselves and we grow old and we grow frail and we get sick, and there is pain and there is sorrow and there is sighing and there is grief, because we're parted from one another by death, which is unnatural and which God never created. Death comes because of sin. God made Adam and Eve perfect to live forever in perfect communion with him, in a perfect creation. And, you know, I've said this before, but I believe that the language of Revelation is such as to give us the anticipation that what God does when he says, "Behold, I make all things new," what he will do is greater than Eden. It's greater than it shall be at the first. It's even better. We think, how could... Only God can improve on perfection, right? Only the eternal God, only the infinite God can do this. What a scene. What glory. What wonder. It's not even the possibility of the shedding of a tear You know, he himself wipes tears away. And we just think about these five words. He will dwell with them. And I just have five things to say about these five words. We see here the great God, the greatest certainty, the greatest privilege, the greatest proximity, and the greatest contrast. Now, there aren't five words in the Greek. There are in English. I'm just acknowledging that, just in case somebody goes and says, well, you know, you've made 5 points and five words, and it's not five words in the Greek. Well, there are five words in the English. That's how we express it. So we've got 5 points, because it's all there. It's all there in the language. But we've got the five words. He will dwell with them. He, the great God, the eternal God, the Alpha and the Omega, awesome in wonders, glorious in holiness, full of love, defined, characterized by love, the very essence of love. Powerful. Oh, so powerful. Gracious. Oh, so gracious. Otherwise, there would be nobody in this city. Holy. Holy. There's no sin getting into this city. The creator of all things. The sustainer of all things. The savior of all his people. The redeemer. And friends, it is he who dwells with his people. Him, the great God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He will dwell with them. It should not surprise us, for he already loves us, and he already walks with us and talks with us along life's narrow way, and he already has dealings with us. But he, the great God, it says, will dwell with them. The great God. And it says he will. Bringing us the greatest certainty. This is the word of God. And in fact, if you had any more doubt, verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What I've just said, write it down. It's true and faithful. He will dwell with them. He will. It's the greatest certainty. I am says, I will. I will. Who was and who is to come. He doesn't change. There's no shadow of turning with him. No variableness or shadow of turning. He keeps all his promises. This glorious prospect before us tonight. He will dwell with us because we are them. Is secure. It's been bought and paid for at Calvary's cross. This is part of why when we come to the Lord's table, we're looking forward, because we're looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're looking forward to what God has done for us in Christ. He will. He will dwell with them. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. It cannot be revoked, because it's done. He said on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. There's nothing that can undo it. You cannot outsin the grace of God. You will not wake up tomorrow and find that you are suddenly no longer an heir to the promises. You are once in him forever. He is the God who makes and keeps covenant. And he has sworn by himself a sure oath from which he will not turn back. He will. Yes, he will. It's bought and paid for at Calvary's cross. It is sealed. Sealed in resurrection. Glorious day. The first day of the week. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. And God the Father seals and he approves the work of his Son, raising him from the dead. And he lives. He lives. He cannot die. He is the eternal God. He will. The great God. The greatest certainty. And it says, he will dwell. He will dwell. And that, friends, is the greatest privilege. The greatest privilege. Our God, not ashamed to be called our God. Hebrews 11:16. His people who seek this new Jerusalem, that is this better, this heavenly country. And this is the heart of it, the wonder of it all. He will tabernacle. He will encamp. He will tent. He will reside. As he did, you might say, in the tabernacle and the temple. Well, I suppose to an extent, yes. But there's no veil. There's no veil. There's no holy place. Why, the whole place is holy. There's no defilement there. There's no need for a high priest because Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And the greatest privilege is that we are to be in his presence forever and ever. And he will dwell with us. No structure needed to separate things out. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. He is the glory of his church. And what a privilege it is that God would dwell with man. And again, we see another strand. You can pull the strands and out they come. And you find another one here in Emmanuel, God with us. And you see that Christ coming, whatever the date was, it doesn't matter. But you see that Christ coming into the world, we might say in so many words, that first Christmas time, him coming, why, it's a foreshadowing of all that is to come. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Emmanuel, God with us. That God should come as one of us, I scarce can take it in. The more I hear the story told, the more amazed I am. But friends, it's not the end of the story, because he who dwelt once in this world for a mere 33 years or so will dwell with his people forever. Forever. And he will for all eternity. Not for one moment be ashamed of the least or the meanest of his people. And he will never grow tired of us. And he will never turn away from us. And he will always be delighted in us. It is amazing. You know, think of the times in your life. Think of the times that you have been ashamed of him. I say the times I have been ashamed of him, ashamed of Jesus. Jesus, and can it be? A mortal man, ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days, and he will dwell. He will dwell with them. He will ever look upon me and smile upon me, never turn away from me. He'll not remember all the things that I've thought and said and done in this world of sin, which drove the nails into his hands and forced the crown of thorns upon to his head. He will not remember those things. Those things are forgotten. They're cast into the sea of his forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. He will dwell with us. Oh, friends, Christmas is just the little foreshadowing. And all the glory comes because of all the humility involved in that event at Bethlehem. He dwelt a short time with his people. He will dwell forever when faith gives way to sight. It is the greatest privilege. He will dwell. It's not a shorthold lease or anything else. It is the freehold for all eternity. And that's where he will be found, in the midst of his people for all eternity. He will dwell. And I suppose you could say, it stretches it just a little bit, but there's just a little more meaning to tease out, I suppose. He will dwell with. He will dwell with. And it's the greatest proximity. It doesn't say he will dwell without them. He will dwell near them. He will dwell somewhere accessible to them, a short commute or whatever. He will be at the other end of a phone line. He will be available to them, office hours or whatever. I mean, that's just ludicrous, isn't it? But it says he will dwell with them. The greatest proximity. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. That is what Christians have always proven to be true over the years. But it shall be demonstrably true through all eternity. If you want to see Jesus, you'll be able to see him. You'll be able to approach him. He will dwell with them. It's the greatest proximity, not just the greatest privilege. But we finally have the greatest contrast. He will dwell with them. Oh, wonder. Oh, wonder of all wonders. The angels look on amazed. It's the greatest contrast. He and them. He, holy God. They, sinners. All these once were sinners, defiled in his sight. Now arrayed in pure garments, in praise they unite unto him who has loved us and washed us from sin. Unto him be the glory for ever. Amen. The greatest contrast. He will dwell with them. They will never be parted from their God. And then there will be no more death and sin and sorrow. And he will make all things new. and perfect and glorious and enjoyable. Yes. Oh yes. God is a God of beauty. And God is a God of pleasure. And God is a God of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it is His good pleasure that you should know eternal pleasure. You might not think that from the way some people talk and some Christians talk, you know, and they're so miserable all the time. And, well, friends, no. God will do all this for His own glory. Make no mistake. He makes all things new for His own glory. But He also does it for the joy and the pleasure and the benefit of all His people whom He loves. For we are His children, and He will withhold no good thing. The Lord God is a sun and a shield, and no good thing will He withhold from him who walks uprightly. He will not. He will not withhold good things. And He says about all of these things, write, for these words are true and faithful. Can you depend upon them? Well, yes, you can. Can you depend upon anything else? I say, no, you can't. You may have your mind fixed upon the fact, well, what's happening in January? What's happening tomorrow, friends? What's happening tomorrow? We don't even know what's happening tomorrow, and we're thinking about what's happening in January. Because we just assume that we know what's happening tomorrow. And we assume that next Sunday, Jonathan will be preaching, and there'll be a carol service, and this and that, and then it'll be Christmas, and then it'll be New Year. We just assume all these things. We don't know. I tell you this, you can take to the bank. He will dwell with them. He will dwell with you for eternity. He who has saved you, He who loves you, He who has given everything for you and will never be ashamed of you, will never turn away from you, will never tire of you, will glory in you forever and delight in you and joy over you. They shall be mine, He says, in the day when I make them my jewels. They shall be mine. We are precious in the sight of our God. And we are them. Once sinners, now saved, presently still sinning, being sanctified, being made more like Jesus Christ, God willing, as life goes on. And then at the end, all things past, everything to be made new, the eternal God will dwell with His people. He will dwell with them. The great God, the greatest certainty, the greatest privilege, the greatest proximity, the greatest contrast. Yes, these are very simple things I bring to you this evening, my dear friends. But they should make your heart sing. And you should come to the Lord's table overwhelmed. How greatly He loves you. How greatly He loves you. Can you look forward? Yes, you can. These are wonderful things. He will dwell with them. May God bless His word to our hearts. Amen. Amen.